The speech of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Conjugal love is the union of souls and the joining of minds. It is a spiritual love. But our first interest in a married partner, though idealistic, is based on external interests. Good looks, charming manners, the independence and honor of being married, money, outward compatibility, similarity of social class, physical allurement, and other largely selfish or at least external motivations partly lead people to get married. The first love in marriage doesn't really conjoin the partners. It is an infatuation. The doctrine calls it a love belonging to the body and from the body to the spirit. This kind of love doesn't last long, just as the natural body does not live forever. It is unstable and unreliable. How does the Lord convert a largely selfish love into love truly conjugal? How does he bring stability to an unreliable motivation? Friendship between married partners is one of the keys. Friendship is what makes the bridge from a flash-in-the-pan romance to a true, lasting love which deepens and strengthens with time. With married partners who are not just lovers, but also best friends, there is a firm base to fall back on when passion cools down. Then a spiritual love can slip quietly into the souls and minds of married partners, along with friendship and confidence in each other. The heavenly doctrine says, friendship introduces love more deeply into the heart and makes it a real married love. And then that love makes its friendship a married friendship. This is very different from the friendship of every other love, for it is complete. Friendship in marriage, the doctrine says, is like the face of love and also like its garment. Friendship is like a garment to love in the beginning because it is something added to the love, an aspect of the partner's relationship that is quite distinct from their passionate love. Like a garment, being friends enables the relationship to stay warm when passion is cool. All the little kindnesses, favors, teamwork, shared secrets, conversations, and other expressions of friendship are becoming attractive ways to act with one's married partner. They are like nice clothes that dress up the relationship and make us presentable to each other, even when we're not feeling madly in love. As the relationship grows deeper, friendship can become more and more the face of love, not something separate, but the very expression of love. With people who are growing in love truly conjugal, the unity of their minds grows, and so does their friendship, because their friendship is involved in their love, and their love is within their friendship. This marriage of minds progresses along with the growth of friendship and mutual trust. Gradually, the bodily love in which the marriage began can be infilled with an affection for the mind and heart of the other, an appreciation of the deeper good qualities from the Lord with the other person. But with people not growing in true love, their friendship also tends to wither. Every marriage has times when love is not warm and growing. At those times, we can still work on maintaining a friendly attitude and continuing to make expressions of friendship. Putting on these appearances of love, friendship, and favor can keep the marriage from dying of the cold and provide a space into which love can return. When we assume such appearances from conscience, love can return. Conjugal love is a marriage of souls and minds. It is loving to think the way the other thinks and to will the way the other wills, that is, to have the same goals and be striving together toward the same end. The Lord speaks of married partners being yoked together. He says, "What God has yoked together, let not man sever." The image is like two oxen or two horses pulling a wagon. If we let the Lord be our driver and set our direction, then a husband and wife can pull together more and more. They can move more and more in step, not because one partner backs down and gives in to the insistence of the other, but because each, in freedom, comes to love the same goals as the other. This is a description of best friends who love each other's freedom and love to consult with each other with respect for the other and with gratitude for the special contributions to the home that the other brings, gifts that we ourselves could not replace. Only the Lord can bring about such friendship and teamwork if we look to Him. How do we cultivate true friendship by which the joining of minds and true conjugal love may grow with us? First of all, we must each be friends to the Lord by doing whatever He commands us. The Lord is the only source of true love and friendship. He wants very much to share love and friendship with us, but we must open our minds to Him by doing as He commands. So we should put the Lord first in our lives, even ahead of our married partner. If we are not yet married, we should be looking for people who put the Lord first, ahead of pleasing us, and who encourage us to put the Lord first as well, and thus bring out the best in us. This is why it is essential for married partners to have religion in common, to have a shared idea of the Lord and of what doing His commandments involves, so that they can be together His friends. And what does the Lord command? In respect to marriage, above all, He commands us to be faithful. Friendship between any two people, and especially between married partners, is based on trust. We must let our partner know each day of our lives that we are committed to the marriage and thus to her or him, no matter what, and that we will flee from wandering lusts as hard and fast as we can. We must spurn and hold our noses against the stench of filthy thoughts and allurements. Otherwise, we will come to enjoy that stench and ruin our pleasure in true married love. It's an ongoing struggle, and we must remain committed to the battle, trusting in the Lord. More than anything else, a marriage needs the security that comes from the confidence that each partner is building his or her life on the rock of the Lord's Word. In that way, the husband and wife can build a home, looking to the Lord together. The Lord speaks specifically to how couples who are feeling remote can be joined together. He is teaching us some ways to build true friendship. We read, "The varieties of likeness between married partners are very many, and they may be more or less remote. Yet even those which are remote can in time be joined together by various things, chiefly by accommodating to the other's desires, by sharing duties, by courtesy, by avoiding unchaste acts, by shared love of infants and taking care of children. Most important is conformity in the things of the church, for these bring about the inward joining of even remote likenesses, while the other things bring about only an outward joining." This passage shows that we can keep on cultivating friendship with our married partner by doing favors, sharing duties, particularly with the children, being careful not to be rude, unkind or unfriendly, nor unchaste, and by going to church together. An important requirement for building friendship and love is simply time together. There is scarcely any commodity more precious to us than time. It takes time to learn how to accommodate to the other's desires. It takes time to share in the duties of the home, and perhaps also the duties at work. It takes time to learn to be courteous and to really listen, and to be willing also to share one's thoughts without being pushy. And each partner needs to spend a good amount of time with their children for the marriage's sake, for their children's sake, and for their own sakes as well. Couples need time to talk and to do things together. They need time to court after their wedding as well as before. It seems healthy to create occasional romantic times along with the many practical working times. A particular challenge is the balance between work and home. Certainly, a man's time at work can also be an expression of commitment to the Lord and to his marriage. Charity itself is to do one's work honestly and faithfully, and to act in this way in every relationship with everyone. A couple can view his work as one of their home's major contributions to human society, as well as the way by which they meet the material needs of their home. But conjugal love is the fundamental love of all, into which are gathered all joys and delights from first to last. And having and raising children for eternal life is the chief purpose of creation. So a couple, and particularly a husband, must find time to feed their children spiritually as well as materially, and to feed their marriage with time together, when they are not too tired to talk and enjoy each other's company. A couple needs time to discuss serious issues so as to be able to pull together in the yoke instead of each going in separate directions. It is not an easy balance. The culture is not very supportive of marriages and homes, but instead is very driven to achieve material goals. But the Lord's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. If we keep looking to him, gradually he will guide us into all the states of love truly conjugal: innocence, peace, tranquility, inmost friendship, full confidence, and a mutual desire of mind and heart to do each other every good. And from all these, blessedness, happiness, delight, pleasure, and from the eternal enjoyment of these, heavenly joy. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.